And we're going to head to politics at the start of this hour, our last live hour before we go into our summer season. And it's interesting, you know, when you talk to people about what they make of the political discussions that did shape 2010, you'll find wildly divergent opinions. Many, of course, say it's been a wild rollercoaster ride with Kevin Rudd being deposed and the first female Prime Minister. Who feels prosperous, who doesn't, where we're heading as a nation. Many were left utterly disillusioned with what they say are visionless politicians. Think climate change. Julia Gillard, of course, is right now centre frame with probably a lot of homework to do over the summer break. Maybe we in the media could well be the reason for a lot of this temperamental style that's around politics at the moment that is pretty sort of dispiriting it many times, actually, and that the 24-hour news cycle itself has produced a kind of horse race journalism, as the veteran American journalist Jay Rosen said so eloquently in the middle of this year. So in a few moments, we're going to be joined by a panel of thinkers to debate these issues. First, let's hear some familiar sound bites from the year that was.
Several government sources have told the ABC that MPs are being sounded out about a possible move against the Prime Minister.
Julia Gillard is in Kevin Rudd's office as we speak.
The leaders of the right-wing faction in New South Wales and Victoria, Mark Abib from New South Wales, David Feeney from Victoria, and I think Bill Shorten also from Victoria, told Julia Gillard earlier today they've lost confidence in Kevin Rudd as Prime Minister.
Whatever happens tonight, the Rudd era is over.
We interrupt this regular broadcast to bring you breaking news for Canberra.
My values and my beliefs have driven me to step forward to take this position as Prime Minister.
First female Prime Minister of Australia.
I just find it's quite boring.
Back between Gillard and the other guy, it's like swapping chairs on the Titanic, seriously. Don't want to watch either of them on there, don't want to hear from both of them. What a waste of time.
There are 100,000 Australians who enrolled 7 days late. Those Australians will be able to exercise their right to vote at this election.
What a waste of time.
And if I can use a footy analogy, there are times when the coach says to the players, play safe, lock it down, short passes, keep possession of the ball. I think we've been playing our election campaign like that. But you see the best of the players when they're really going for it. I'm going to be really going for it now.
What a waste of time.
Who is the real Julia Gillard?
Would the real Julia please
stand up?
Stand up.
So is this your Welsh background? Do you like a bit of meat and three veg?
I do like a bit of meat and three veg. So, yeah, if I, you know, was condemned and my last meal had to be served, I think I'd go the roast lamb, potatoes, carrots, peas, gravy, mint sauce. That'd be me.
Well, horse race journalism is sort of a reusable model for how to do campaign coverage, in which you focus on who's going to win rather than what the country needs to settle by electing a prime minister.
But I'm a fairly simple, you know, eater, so roast lamb.
I know politicians are going to be judged on everything they say, but sometimes in the heat of discussion, you go a little bit further than you would if it was an absolutely calm, considered, prepared, scripted remark.
Oh, no, well, even boys. Obama is listening to Jay-Z.
Yeah, well, see, I probably wouldn't even know who that guy is. I mean, the Beach Boys, the Big O, Elvis.
I intend 2011 to be defined less by politics and more by government.
What a waste of time.
And thanks to our young producer, the younger member of the team, Hagar Cohen, for putting together those particular little highlights. Highlights. And I'm delighted, after some of those gems, to welcome to the program Jane Carrow, who's a Sydney author, very much involved in public education promotion and advertising expert, who was joined us on our coverage out at just before the election on Election Day at Eastwood Primary School. Andrew Lee from Labor, the federal member for Fraser now, author and previously Professor of Economics at the ANU. And Sally-Anne Atkinson, the former Lord Mayor of Brisbane, who an LNP member and a businesswoman who also joined us on that final day at Eastwood. So welcome to you all.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Thanks, Geraldine.
Well, I wonder what your responses were to all of that. I mean, Sally-Anne...
my first response was listening to that young man who came back again saying, what a waste of time, which very sadly, as, you know, one who's been around for a while and who just believes in the political process and loves the country, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, to think, that, I mean, that is does seem to me to be the general view of young people I come across.
Yes, do you... Honestly, it's a question. Do you wonder why and whose fault is it that the more the depths of it aren't brought out more?
I think that there's a lack of honesty in politics, or perhaps a lack of authenticity. And I think this is what really turns people off, and particularly young people when so much of their life is transparent, when they're, you know, on Facebook and Twitter and they're revealing their emotions. And then they see politicians say one thing and not do it, or mean another, or whatever. You know, Julia Gillard saying that she was more likely to be the front row forward for somebody or other than be Prime Minister. And you know, Anna Bligh here in Queensland, who I think is a very intelligent, good woman. But the thing that comes back again and again was that she promised before the election she wasn't going to privatise the assets, and then she did. And all of this is seen as, well, first of all, being dishonest. Second of all, you know, a lack of authenticity, and people aren't what they seem. And so young people say, well, why bother? And I think that's a tragedy.
Jane?
Look, I think Sally-Anne's hit the nail on the head all the way through there. I think the problem is we have a kind of managerialism mindset in government. It's almost as if our leaders don't want to lead. They want to go to a research group, get a research report, and then spout whatever it was that came out of the focus group. And we see through that. And we sort of, there's a sense, I have a sense anyway, of what's the point of them exactly? They say, I don't know what, I know what Tony Abbott stands for. I love the way he was described as the other guy. I thought that was terrific. I know what he stands for. I've said this a number of times. The trouble with Tony Abbott is he believes in too much. I don't know what Julia Gillard stands for. She keeps talking about she's a conviction politician, she's a passion for education. Well, anyone who really cares about education thinks that that's an absolute nonsense. And, yeah, I get this sense of a void at the top.
Andrew Lee?
I mean, so the interesting position I'm in, Geraldine, is I get to see all of the speeches that are delivered one day and then get to see the media coverage of them the next. And there really is a sense in which we've lost a lot of that complexity, and the challenge on us as politicians, I think, is to, you know, Julia Gillard will deliver a deeply considered speech on education, but the next day you'll just get often just the money component, you know, who wins, who loses, that kind of horse race journalism you got before. And so, you know, the process that the Prime Minister's engaged in the moment is how to deepen that conversation, how to have a more considered conversation. And so it's not just about the politics and the gameplay, but it's actually about the substance, the ideas, the future of Australia.
Yes, I think there was that report that came out just a few weeks ago about young attitudes by the consumers of the media to the media coverage. And there was that sense that people wanted more about policy than politics. Now, of course, everyone says this and everybody nods wisely and says, oh, yes, how true. But how to get that back into chief of staff's choices and the way in which things are presented is a major challenge. I mean, I can assure you it is a major challenge inside the media, particularly with a 24-hour media cycle. And I wonder, Andrew Lee, you know, you've done all this work with your book, Disconnected. Did you come to any views about how this conversation could be shifted?
Well, I think, Geraldine, it's partly about having a conversation in real and visual terms. So you don't want to talk about deliverables and about the dollar figures. Often the dollar figures don't mean that much. You know, National Party senators get millions and billions mixed up, so why should we expect people listening to the radio to care? But talking about sort of visually, like Keating's J-curve in the early 90s, that was an important and powerful concept which conveyed what would happen done through through economic reform.
So like an educative policy sort of thing.
Exactly. So, I mean, I guess my goal whenever I go on one of these sort of slanging off TV shows is to at least in 15 minutes convey some new fact or new perspective. So even if you completely disagree with all of my policy positions, you can come away thinking, well, I learned one thing from listening to him. That's my sort of tiny contribution to this process, if you like. But recognising that when we dumb things down, we on the left lose more than they on the right, because we're the party that believes that fundamentally government can make a difference in creating more opportunities in people's lives.
So you just punch through no matter what's being asked of you. You make sure you get that little factoid out, do you?
I mean, I think I don't go in with one particular factoid, but I do go in trying to put a slightly different perspective onto any discussion, and trying to sort of, you can explain the benefits of a floating exchange rate, why having competition in the banking sector is important, something that sort of deepens the discussion and gets you away from the standard sort of talking points that whether it's moving forward on our side or stop the boats on their side, but into a conversation about ideas and values.
There was that phrase, moving forward, Andrew.
There was indeed, and look, I was not using it in the way you expected me to, I suspect.
Look, I think it's a really interesting perspective, and I'm sure the media simplifies things, but partly that's because It's on all levels of leadership now. It's not just in government and politics. It's in business and everything else. The language that people use is so hard to understand.
This is Don Watson's point.
Yeah, it's so complicated, and it seems to be designed to obscure the meaning. And it seems to be designed to make us feel designed to obscure the meaning, so that you can't pin the person down. You can't hold them accountable and responsible for what they've said, because they've said such a lot of fluffy stuff that you kind of go, but what they, and it's boring to listen to, so people turn off. And just on Andrew's point about having the factoid and pushing through, I've been on a number of those, what does he call them, slagging off programs with various politicians. And some of them do it beautifully. They're really, really good at it. But some of them infuriate by simply repeating over and over again, ignoring whatever they're asked, not. And so it feels like they're bulldozing the discussion according to their agenda. Well, that's not a discussion. It's not about communication. People watching and hearing that respond exactly as you would expect them to if someone behaved like that at a dinner party, for example.
But Sally Ann, just before, because I know you want to come in, but the complexities of this were illustrated in this piece by Paul Kelly that I referred to earlier in the focus section of The Australian today. He makes the point, just got lost because everybody's sort of too busy at the moment, but there were three reports came out on population-related matters yesterday. One was the Sustainable Development Report, chaired by the former New South Wales Premier Bob Carr, who argues for a much stronger sort of sieve of whether population is sustainable, in contrast with the Productivity Panel report, chaired by the Australian Industry Group's Heather Ridout, which argued that the only way we can sustain our prosperity is by rising population and doing it cleverly. Diametrically opposed reports, terribly important, like of profound significance to us. Hard work to cut through, Sally Ann, requiring all of us to engage at levels that sometimes we pull back from. How do we do that better?
I think we do it by talking simply. I don't think these issues are as complex as that. I think we make them complex by using words such as sustain and sustainable. You ask, sustain can mean, and sustainable can mean a whole lot of different things. If we just speak in real language, and good on Andrew for making that, if that was his sort of whole contribution to the political history of this country, I'd say good on him forever. I mean, I think that, and I agreed with what Jane said, the way politicians appear to be talking down to people, it sounds terribly patronising, using words like deliverable and announceable. Mm. When we debate these issues, such as, population control, they really are quite simple. Do we have less people or do we have more, less or more people in this country? Why, and what difference is it going to make? Now, I
believe strongly. I mean, I did start my journalistic career on the Brisbane Telegraph, which believed that you couldn't have a sentence longer than 15 words, and no word longer than, I think, three syllables was absolutely the maximum, and even that was too much. But people knew what we were talking about. And, you know, the whole object of communication is not what the person who's doing the talking is actually saying. It's what the listener is actually hearing.
Mm. Choosing to hear.
So if you're not communicating in a way that people understand you, well, sorry, mate, you ain't communicating.
Our guests are Jane Caro, Andrew Lee, the Federal Member for Fraser, and Sally-Anne Atkinson, and it's our final political panel of the year where we're trying to actually put the media on the block as well. But maybe I should then say, how do you imagine the media, Jane Caro, is going to report the next stage of Julia Gillard's life? Like, this is a big summer for her, isn't it, in terms of stepping into the next year. What do you imagine is her, if I can put it like this, homework for the summer?
Well, I think that if she could become... In Parliament, she's often quite direct and very witty, but it seems to me that as soon as she gets into any kind of public forum, discussion forum, she loses that spark. Maybe it's because she's better at the cut and thrust.
So did Paul Keating too, you know.
Yeah, it's funny that they lose that sense of themselves, the authentic person, which is the bit we relate to. 80% of communication is not what we say. It's how we appear, how we come across, the tone of our voice, our body language. And that's, they get the prime ministership, and with one or two exceptions, and I think John Howard probably was an exception, they seem to lose their personality within it. So I think part of her homework is to drop the idea she's prime minister and just concentrate on the fact that she's Julia Gillard. She's got certain opinions. She's got certain beliefs. Let us know what they are in a human. And don't worry if people disagree with you. I think the problem...
Hang on. You can't just say that.
Well, you have to. Yeah, unfortunately,
you really believe that?
If you're going to come across as someone... John Howard didn't care if you disagreed with him.
Or he didn't let a day go by. He watched who disagreed with him. If you watch, it was brilliant the way he absolutely kept
But tabs. That's my point. You will have people who disagree with you, always. That's a given. And if you're Prime Minister, you will definitely have people who strongly disagree with you and who will never, particularly in the media, agree with anything you say. You can almost say out loud, I'm not going to, which media outlets support which of our political parties and which of our leaders. And you can predict pretty much the way they're going to react to certain policy announcements by each of those people. So why don't try to please the people who don't agree with you? Try to build those people who actually are dying to agree with you, if only you would actually talk more directly to them instead of constantly being worried by your critics. Yes, you will have critics. Yes, you need to know who they are. But don't let them shut you up.
Andrew Lee, how do you see this now that you're sitting right there on the spot?
Well, Geraldine, I think the sort of general story about where the government is at the moment is that people have lowered expectations on us because we're a minority government and everything has to be negotiated through this unusual configuration of rural independents and Greens. But in a sort of more broader sense, I actually think we should have higher expectations on us than the typical government. Australia's in this extraordinary position at the moment where we're not working out where we can make the savage cuts in order to save the budget, like a lot of the rest of the developed world. We've come through this huge economic downturn remarkably well, and that in some sense throws a larger obligation on the shoulders of us in public life. Other countries really will find it much tougher than we do to deal with something like climate change, with revamping the education system, which building the infrastructure for the future. Australia's in this extraordinary position now where we actually do have the resources to do those things. And so, you know, I think you should have high expectations for this government because the situation Australia finds itself in at the moment is economically a really good one.
So, you know, this is an interesting question. Malcolm Fraser used to say, his aim when he came in 75, he said, I want to get politics off the front page. Now, I wonder... Sally-Anne Atkinson, is that the way now? I can't imagine politics off the front page now. That's how much we've changed as a country. I wonder whether we'd be inclined to have this bigger conversation more or less if the politics was less on the front page.
I don't think, as long as you have an army of spin doctors, politicians, as long as you have paid PR people whose job is, if not actually to sort of make sure they don't get on the front page in bad ways, is certainly to push the good news out, and therefore you've got to have sort of, you've got to have balance. I just to taking Andrew's point, I think we're in a very exciting place in Australian politics. You know, the first, apart from the first time we've had the female Prime Minister, and I wish she'd just take a few risks.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, be a real person, take a risk, to heck with it all. But we've got this sort of coalition of, you know, the country independents, the Greens. It's a whole different scene. And so we could take a few risks because it's different. It's not like it was before. We can afford to do things in a different way. And I think that might make people a little bit more excited and not have the young folks saying, what a waste of time, because they don't know what it really is, because they're being spoken to in words that nobody uses in real conversation.
That's right.
How often do you talk about, oh, better have a deliverable or an announceable, or is this putting sustainable?
All right. My outcome for my children is.
Okay, final, I'll ask you all then, what's your best hope and your worst fear, quickly, for 2011, Jane Caro?
Well, for 2011, my best hope is that we do get the female Prime Minister that I think is lurking in there somewhere, and that she does start to take some risks, and she does start to stop listening to the people who keep wanting to contain her, close her down, keep her acceptable, keep her not offending anyone. My worst fear is that that simply won't happen, that she will remain this slightly odd, distant individual that we can't get quite a handle on. We feel like, I think we could, there's someone really interesting in there. But I also think that my worst fear is that we continue, and this is back to the media and to an extent its culpability and the paucity of the conversation we're having, that whenever someone tries to do something different, because I think we desperately need to do some things differently, we're teetering on the brink of something, people come up with the losers, and there are always going to be losers in any change. And as soon as there are losers, everybody backs off and won't do it.
That's
so
Australia.
We don't move. We stay still. We've got to move. My worst fear is we won't move. My best hope is that we will.
Andrew Lee.
My best hope, Geraldine, is that we get a price on carbon. I think climate change is an extraordinarily large issue for Australia to be facing, and it'll be difficult. But if we can get a price on carbon, that's a great legacy to bequeath to the next generation. My worst fear is that we have another election next year, because I'm not quite sure my wife could handle two elections in two years, to say nothing of the boys.
Let alone the rest of us. Sally Ann Atkinson.
Well, keeping it short, Geraldine, I'm hoping that a lot of those disenchanted young people will join political parties of any sort and get involved, and that the young man who thinks it's a waste of time will change his view, but will get in there and do something about it. And it's something certainly can be done about it, but people have to speak up and say, this is the way we want it. My worst fear, of course, is that that won't happen and there'll be a further drift away. And it'll all continue to be fuzzy, a bit like sort of gooey marshmallow.
Forget the 24-hour news cycle, I say. That's my best hope. Speaking as a person from the media, I realise that I hope that has a little bit of extra persuasion, but I really do wish they all would. All right, look, thank you all very much indeed for joining us today for this romp through the year. Jane Caro, Andrew Lee, Sally Ann Atkinson, thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy Christmas.
Indeed to you all. And you can let us know. Look, we won't be back to open your letters for a few weeks, but we'd love to hear from you about this year.